Today we discuss ballot question one, which would eliminate the state income tax. If approved, it would reduce the state's income tax from 5.3% to 2.65% on January 1st and eliminate it entirely 1 year later. Joining me today in our Boston studio at WGBH is Carla Howell, chair of the Committee for Small Government, who supports question one. Good morning to you, Carla.
Good morning, Mindy.
And Peter Mead, chair of the Coalition for Our Communities, who opposes it. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Mindy.
Carla, you say eliminating the income tax would put more money in taxpayers' pockets, create jobs, reduce government waste. Can you explain how this would come about and the other reasons that you support eliminating the income tax?
Yes on one, this November 4th, will end the income tax within 14 months. You'll see a 50% cut in your income tax this January 1st. The rest of it goes away 1 year later. That will give back an average of $3,700 each to 3,400,000 workers and taxpayers across the state. That's $3,700 that you can spend, save, or give away in your own communities that you can use to pay your bills, pay off your debt, help others who are in need in your family and in your community. This will create hundreds of thousands of new jobs by stimulating the economy rather than seeing that money wasted on Beacon Hill.
Right. And, Peter, your view is that this would be disastrous and would have the opposite effect, correct?
There's not one business in Massachusetts that has said it will, one major business outside Massachusetts, one major business inside Massachusetts that said it would expand. It's ludicrous to think that this is going to increase jobs. This is a reckless proposal. It's why we're urging a no vote on question one. The Mass Taxpayers Foundation, the Associated Industries of Massachusetts, Mass Business Roundtable, 19 chambers of commerce are all opposed to this. 19 business groups in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's hard to believe that it would produce jobs if the business community is standing as one. Just to show you how radical and reckless a proposal this is, the Boston Globe and Boston Herald almost never agree on anything, and both have editorialized a very strong no on one.
Carla?
First of all, the business groups that Peter Mead just cited are ones that have an interest in keeping government spending high. Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation, for example, is populated with financial corporations and other big government corporations that get government contracts and are very vested in seeing spending stay high. Now, any honest economist, and this is just a flat-out lie to say that businesses don't support it, small businesses in particular, and the businesses and economists in general know a very common sense fact. Low taxes stimulates jobs, stimulates the economy. High taxes, big government, the ultimate of which is communism and fascism and heavily socialist countries, are very obviously much more poor than the wealthy countries who keep government in check and keep taxes low. This is a common sense fact that I think many people recognize.
Carla, why don't you tell us how many businesses that are members, well, first off, how many businesses are members of the Taxpayers Foundation, and how many of those businesses are dependent on the state, as you just asserted?
The major backers of the Massachusetts Taxpayer Foundation, where they get most of their money, is from these large financial corporations that manage the tens of billions of dollars that the state government holds in their accounts. They also do things like audit for the state government and other contracts that they get from the state government.
But I asked
the real opposition. But the real opposition to this initiative is the government employee unions. They are funding 99.8% of the ads and the scare tactics that you're seeing that are claiming doom and gloom. And these are groups that get huge benefits from high spending and high taxes, in particular government employee retirement packages that are just out of this world.
Carl, I want to talk about you talking about the doom and gloom. First, let me give the toll-free number for our listeners who might want to call in with a question or comment. 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Let's go to the budget for a second. We're starting.
Can I respond just a moment?
Go ahead quickly.
I asked Carl a specific question. How many members in the Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation and how many of them are so-called government-dependent? She never answered the question.
The ones that do the primary backing for the Massachusetts so-called Taxpayer Foundation, the big banks in town, Deloitte and Touche was one. If you look at their list of members and financiers, they're all large financial corporations and other corporations. This is effectively an unregistered business lobby group. The normal businesses, the mom-and-pop shops, the people around the state that create jobs and small businesses, and many of whom support our initiative, desperately need and want a tax cut.
Carla can't answer the question. It's,
right,
again, without facts, the folks who were urging question one.
I just
one
named
to pass,
some of the businesses.
Right, I asked a specific question.
So let me move on to the next question. We're starting to see the impact of the governor's budget cuts. On the Cape, we have a Cape Cod dentist care, dental health program for the uninsured and underinsured, lost all of its funding. The Audible Local Ledger, a reading service for the blind, likely to close, lose half of its funding. We have cuts to Children's Cove, which investigates sexual abuse cases, lost half its funding, and we could go on and on and on here. If we're seeing these kinds of cuts now, Carla, would eliminating the income tax, thus eliminating $12 billion in revenues, wouldn't that be devastating to our economy and drive more people out of the state?
Well, that's a good question. The governor's recent so-called budget cuts are really a sham and a slap in the face of taxpayers. First of all, he proposes cutting all of 1% of total Massachusetts government spending, city, town, and state spending, which we'll see if he ever actually cuts it. Most of the time when they announce cuts, the budget never goes down. In fact, we already have a report of one person who's allegedly losing her job, who's got another job lined up with the government. But what the bigger point here is that rather than cut the $2.8 billion that he has increased spending over the last 2 years since he took office, he's picking the things that will create fear, that will create concern. He's going after these little players in the $70 billion in total state, city, town, government spending, and refusing to address the $1 billion multi-billion pharmaceutical handout he just created in pork, the hundreds of millions of dollars in other pork barrel bills that were recently passed, the $2.4 billion in government employee pensions that he just added to the already lucrative government employee pensions, all these things that his special interests who fund him, who fund the No on One campaign, don't want to talk about, don't want to touch. Instead, they're making a big show, as they often do right before the election, pretending to cut things.
Go ahead, Peter. I know you want to respond to that. No?
I still am back to a fact-free environment, which is where the Yes on One folks have been. They assert that the state is awash in money. They assert that cities and towns in Massachusetts are awash in money. No state has done what they're looking to do. In 8 weeks, you cut out half of the income tax. In 60 weeks, you do away with 40% of the money that the state has. The list of states that have done that is zero. Zero have done that. Now, while seven states don't have an income tax, no one has done this revenue shift that is so radical and reckless. That's why we're urging a no vote on question one. This would put Massachusetts taxes 25% below Tennessee, the state that spends the least. I mean, I don't know anybody in Massachusetts who thinks the way for us to compete is to have less dollars than Alabama, Mississippi, and Tennessee. And as for economists, Ed Moskovich, who writes for the Boston Herald, a very well-respected economist from the North Shore, has pointed this out. The business organizations, all of them, came together and hired Global Insight, one of the leading international economic modeling companies, and they say it would be a disaster for Massachusetts. This is a serious problem. It's reckless. It's radical. No state has ever tried anything like this.
I'd like to know when, Peter, you and your groups are going to quit lying about the state budget. They've been sending postcards around the state, and you've just stated again what is a plain, flat-out lie that 40%, it's 27%, they keep lying about the state budget. This is a documented figure. The state government's comptroller's office has published the budget. You can go to our website, smallgovernmentact.org, and get a link to the government document that shows $47 billion is the total spending of the state government. That's on top of the $22 billion that the cities and towns raise in addition to that. Now, after we end the income tax, we will still have an overall higher tax burden than New Hampshire does, and they're doing certainly as well as we are.
I want to ask you about this because
I was just accused of being a liar. Could I
go ahead.
The state budget is $28 billion, and their website, the Yes on One website, in August had $28 billion down as the state budget figure. We started to point out that they're taking 40% away from that. So what do? They changed the number. They changed the denominator. All of a sudden, miraculously, the state budget went to some figure that nobody had ever heard of, nobody ever discussed, and they're including Medicaid money coming in that can only be used for that. They're including stuff like the lottery. So they've all of a sudden changed the number. And now, of all the chutzpah to declare that we are lying about this, it was on their website in August when they were accused of taking 40% out. They changed
Carl,
the number.
Carl, that's what I want to ask you about the number, because everybody else is saying 28 billion.
Not everybody.
All right. So explain where you get this 40 billion.
The government's comptroller. Now, Peter knows this. We've been in debates before, and they continue to lie about it. There's no nicer way of saying it. Senator Bob Hedlund acknowledged yesterday when I was on the air. He's a legislator. He votes on budgets all the time. It's 47 billion. The government's documents said it. We said previously, before we were able to verify the number, that 28 billion plus off-budget spending. We were trying to get those numbers, and it wasn't until we had verified numbers that we were using the 47 billion, which has been verified. There's no question about it. Forbes magazine, a Beacon Hill Institute, many have corroborated this number. It's being spoken in the media more and more, and the lie about 20 billion, which even your group now admits is 32 billion. So the Massachusetts so-called Taxpayers Foundation themselves is now saying 32 billion. They can't even keep their numbers straight. The number is actually 47 billion because there are four state government accounts. They like to pretend that only one of them counts, but in fact there's four of them, and they total $47 billion in spending. If you try to tell the IRS or the Massachusetts Department of Revenue that you're making 40% less than you actually are and you're lying about your income, you go to jail. It's time that the politicians get straight about the real spending here. We're talking about a 27% cut of government spending. We're not touching the local city and town, $22 billion that they raise independent of the state government.
Can I just ask you a question there? You're saying they're not touching the local aid. At this point,
the $22 billion. They're not touching. The cities and towns raise $22 billion on their own, completely independent of the state government. They get another $5 billion in aid to city and town governments. That's out of the $47 billion that the state raises and spends.
Peter, do you want to respond to that?
I'm profoundly disappointed that we couldn't have a more rational, citizen-like conversation here. Their website had it at $28 billion. We pointed out that it was taking 40% of the revenue. People were starting to say, oh, my gosh, that's way too much. That is radical. That is reckless. So what they did is they changed the number. And now of all the nerve to accuse the Coalition for Our Communities, or me in particular, of lying is just absurd. And I doubt very much that Senator Hedlund said that I was lying.
He said that it's $47 billion. He's in the legislature, and so did the Beacon Hill Institute.
So if the legislature says it's 28 or 32, whatever the number is, you'll believe that if a majority of legislators
say your own group keeps flipping between 28 and 32.
But nobody's calling
the number is 47.
Liar, okay.
Peter, are you going to go on record right now saying that the comptroller's document is false, yes or no?
What I'm going to go on record
yes
is saying...
Yes or no, Peter? You won't answer that question.
I will answer the question.
It's 47.
Can I get an answer to my question that I asked 30 minutes ago, and that is, about the number of companies. You named one for the Mass Taxpayers Foundation.
Well, since you used to be on their board, I'm sure you're very familiar with these guys.
I am. That's
your
why
friends.
I think it's absurd.
So I can't recite every company. I've seen the list. And
all right, Carla, if you're both talking
at
the same time, listen, if you're talking at the same time, listeners can't understand what either of you are saying. So let's...
The state budget, according to their website in August, was $28 billion.
You haven't denied 47.
Carla, please. Go ahead, Peter.
Their website in August had the state budget at $28 billion.
Plus off-budget spending.
Carla,
we didn't have the number.
Carla, you'll have your chance. Let Peter finish the question, and then you can respond. Go ahead, Peter.
Their website had the state budget at $28 billion in August. We pointed out that this is taking, their question, is taking out 40% of the state budget. That's why we're urging no. We get traction. We're beginning to move on that. So they changed the number. What they're including in that $47 billion is things like Medicaid. I asked Carla how much of that Medicaid money can be used to put police officers on the street. She said she didn't know. None of it can be used. And it's not part of what is in the normal state budget. And it's not part of what anybody in the media had talked about as the state budget. You could go back and forth between $28 and $32 billion and all of that, including the lottery in this. I don't know what they're saying. We should collect money from people who buy the lottery but not give out the prizes. It's just not a forthright way to be dealing with the budget. But if they want to all by themselves go off in this $47 billion thing, it's not honest, it's not fair, and frankly, it's not correct.
Peter, you are lying. There is no nicer way to put it. The Boston Globe itself 6 years ago when we last ran our and the income tax initiative, when we got 45% of the vote, the Globe occasionally reported the number, which was then $38 billion. Many in the media have reported it. These days, there's dozens who are reporting it, and it's time to just give up the lie and the facade that the state government's only spending $28 billion.
Let's leave it at this. Carla, you believe that figure is higher? The governor and the legislature and they're saying $28 billion?
No, they're, the legislature and the governor knows darn well it's $47 billion. What they call the statutory budget, which is one of four budgets, is $28 billion. And even Peter Mead's group, right, that's one of four budgets. There's four and they total $47 billion.
Let's leave it that we agree that this budget we're talking about is $28 billion.
No, we're not agreeing on that at all.
And she's going to accuse you of being a liar.
Okay, well, let's move on to another point. And let me just mention for our audience, we are discussing ballot question one, which proposes the elimination of state income tax. Our guests are Carla Howe, chair of the Committee for Small Government, and Peter Mead, chair of the Coalition for Our Communities. Our toll-free number, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. And let me ask you, one of the claims of proponents is that eliminating the state income tax would force the legislature to cut the waste out of the state budget that you were talking about and get rid of government programs that don't work. Carla, can you give us some specifics of what are these programs that you are saying that don't work?
Well, one of the biggest one is government employee retirement packages. Both their pensions and their health care benefits are completely out of line with what taxpayers get in the private sector. At our website, smallgovernmentact.org, if you look at retirements, government versus taxpayers, there it explains the incredible discrepancy. Government employees retiring in their 54 is a typical age, sometimes 40s, 50s, young 60s, while you retire 13 years later. Government employees making often two, three times what you're going to get in retirement annuities, not having to pay taxes on it. The inequities are just stunning. If you go down the list, it's frightening to think. And we can save probably $6 billion or more just by getting pensions in line with the private sector. We're heading for economic, very difficult times. People need this money in their own family budgets. And we need to, by the way, be talking a lot more, not just about the government's budget, but about the budget of families and business who are trying to survive in the state, many of whom are leaving. So we need to need to look at government employee pensions, retirement packages as a primary problem budget buster that's just killing the state, also the cities and town government budgets as well.
You want to respond?
Yeah. If you fired every state employee, you still have to cut $7 billion out of this radical proposal. That's why we're urging a no vote on question one. Carla might spend some time explaining how the state has retirement obligations, pension obligations that it's already obligated to deal with, and how this wouldn't change the retirement system. You want to change the retirement system? Go do it. Don't come at this with a sledgehammer that destroys local aid, that will cause us to lose fire stations, police stations, and most importantly, it will cause the sales tax to go up probably. But what the Boston Herald editorialized was it would cause local real estate tax to go up, and we might even end up with a statewide real estate tax. I don't know anybody who would want to go to that regressive system, but that's what the reckless proposal question one would do.
Peter, let me just ask, before you respond to that, let me just ask, because you mentioned taxes, and one of the things opponents say that this will drive up local property taxes. And my question is, with Prop 2.5, communities can't raise property taxes more than 2.5 unless the majority of voters agree. We right now find many communities saying no to Prop 2.5 overrides. So why would we see that changing?
One of the things, Greg Hyatt, who the Boston Globe had called the father of Prop 2.5, called me and said to me that he was afraid that one of the things the legislature would do if this passed is change Prop 2.5, do away with it, let it up to cities and towns, that they wouldn't provide any more state aid, but say to the cities and towns, you go figure this out. So there's no guarantee that if this passed, Prop 2.5 would remain.
All right, Carla, go ahead.
Well, first of all, your partner, No-One-One spokesperson Michael Widmer, has said that that won't happen. Now, this claim that $5 billion is spent on government employees out of $47 billion, of course, if $5 billion is the actual amount spent on state government employees, it does beg the question, what are they doing with the other $42 billion? But really, that number is, at best, a very partial number, because so many of the government workers work for they're outsourced. They're government contractors, or they work for nonprofits who get subsidies from the state. They're effectively outsourced government agencies. So the real government toll goes payroll goes far beyond that. But the bigger point is, what are they doing with the other $42 billion? Now, $3.5 billion of it goes to lottery proceeds. Yeah, I'd agree. We can't cut that. We've got to pay people their prize money. You still have just... In fact, if you were to add up all the city, town, and state government spending on what most people consider essential services, roads, schools, police, fire, snow plowing, trash removal, debt service, lottery proceeds, constitutionally mandated offices, and other emergency 911 essential functions, all that spending combined, roads, schools, everything, mm-hmm. is less than $25 billion, and yet they're spending $70. So let's look at that other $45 billion. Let's open up the books and look at the 538 government agencies they don't want to talk about and understand, what are they doing with your tax dollars?
Go ahead, Peter, quickly before we go to the phone.
What is interesting is Carla wants to change things. She wants to do away with the pensions, the health benefits of state employees. She doesn't say how this would do it. She just went through a thing of what would happen. Again, this question doesn't do it. It's a bludgeon. It is a sledgehammer. It is not an instrument to use to fix any part of state government. Our coalition is a broad group of the business organizations that she dismisses quickly, social service agencies, religious groups, unions, people who think, many people who have been very critical of state government, saying this is not the way to go. I mentioned earlier, the Globe and the Herald have editorialized against us. It's rare that they get along. It's such a reckless proposal. It's why we're urging no one won.
Let me get Ann on, who's calling from Osterville. Hi, Ann.
Good morning. I am a fairly new Massachusetts resident and listening to this conversation, quite disappointed in the contentiousness of this. Cutting taxes is such an easy thing to try to do. My question is for Carla. I would like you to tell me, Carla, where the money that actually you just referred to for essential services, where will that money come from?
Thank you, Ann.
Well, sure. It's already there. I mean, they're getting it from a number of sources in addition to the income tax, corporate taxes, at the local level, property tax, auto excise tax, lottery proceeds. At the state level, there's dozens of taxes. If you go to our website, smallgovernmentact.org, there's a link there on the front page that says other Massachusetts taxes or something to that effect. And you'll see the long list of both state and local taxes that fund that.
And thank you for the question, Peter.
And welcome. If you're a new resident, you picked a great town to live in Osterville. It's a pretty place. There isn't the money here. Groups and organizations like the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce, the Mass Business Roundtable, Associated Industries of Massachusetts, it's by and large a small business group, are opposed to this because they know this would devastate our Rick Lord, head of Associated Industries of Massachusetts, said, don't people understand? We won't have a school system to invest in. We won't have roads where you can get your goods and services moved. We won't be able to move people. This is such a draconian sledgehammer. And to sit and presume somehow that the money will miraculously be there when all of the people who look at government and are critical of government are saying no, this is a radical, reckless proposal. It's why we're urging no on one.
Carly, you did just a couple minutes ago say that we're into some tough economic times. So the question is, again, if you're cutting this money out so quickly like this over 14 months, how can that not affect programs that are essential?
Well, it won't affect essential services because it's less than a third of the total state government and local government spending. They already have the money. They're awash. They're swimming in money. $70 billion that they're already collecting every year. And about $25 billion of that, generously, conservatively, pays for the things that most people consider essential services, emergency services. After we clean the waste out of all of the government agencies, including the ones that are essential where they're wasteful, for instance, spending $200 billion on a high school in Newton, Massachusetts, that's silly and very destructive.
How does this question change
that? The only way, it's a good question, Peter, the only way to cut government waste is to cut taxes. You can't unseat your legislature. Most of them aren't being challenged in this election. Reforms have been tried over and over again. This is the only thing that can cut government waste. Despite the fact that they are threatening things, it actually will force them to cut government waste, and that's why they're fighting so hard against it.
Peter, let me ask you a question. Ballot question is binding, but the legislature could vote basically to ignore it, right?
They didn't ignore Prop 2.5, and they never changed it. I think they might change Prop 2.5 if this passes. As someone said to me, this will end up trumping Prop 2.5. So local real estate tax could go up willy-nilly. The day after, if this passed, the day after, our bond ratings would begin to go down. And these are awful economic times. I don't know why somebody would vote to make them worse. Our bond rating would go down. We would take $12 billion. We would be taking 40% of the state revenue out of the state budget. It's just a radical thing. No state has done anything like this. I repeat it. No state has tried this. It would put our spending 25% below Tennessee, the state that spends the least. We would be saying we can do better than Alabama and Mississippi and Tennessee on less money. I don't know any rational group that says this would work.
Go ahead, Carla.
First of all, continuing to
we have about 30 seconds, so quickly.
It's 27%, not 40%. The thing is, if you want to cut government waste, this is the only way to do it. If you want to get $3,700 back in your family budget, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family members, and the 3,400,000 workers and taxpayers across Massachusetts, they desperately need this. The government is swimming in money. They don't, and we
all right,
must
you,
cut
you
waste.
You both have websites where people can get more
yes,
information?
Yes, not every taxpayer would get $3,700 back. You might get just a couple of $100 back. Not everybody gets the $3,700.
Right.
No one, question one is our website.
All right, Peter Mead and Carla Howell.
SmallGovernmentAct.org.
All right. Thank you both. I'm Indy Todd. Thank you for listening.